Welcome to the Music Mindfully Podcast with your host, Aaliyah Elliott. This is a place where musicians come to get inspired, to conquer their fears, to overcome self-doubt, and learn to love their music and themselves a little more every day. Let's make music mindfully. All right, so welcome back to the Music Mindfully Podcast. This is your host, Aaliyah Elliott, and today I am so excited to have Dr. Terrence Johnson on the podcast with us. Dr. Terrence Johnson is a licensed professional counselor who specializes in digital well-being, innovation, life purpose, personal and professional growth. He is a real firecracker. He's got a lot going on, and it's going to be so much fun to chat with him today. He writes a blog on Medium, is a speaker, and the creator of an online course called Path to Purpose. He is absolutely dedicated to the development of others, and it's going to be such a pleasure. Today we get to chat all about dream killers. So if you've ever wanted to overcome some of those barriers that are blocking you from creating the life of your dreams, then this is the episode for you. So Terrence, welcome. Thank you so much for being here today.
Look, thank you, Leah, for the invite. Like I said, I've been looking forward to this one. It's been on my calendar, so I've just been anticipating and waiting on the day for us to talk. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, that makes two of us. It's been such a pleasure reading about you. And oh my goodness, I've absolutely loved taking in all of your content. He has so many amazing blog posts, YouTube videos. You've got to find this guy on social media, Dr. Terrence Johnson. So Terrence, you call yourself a life excavator.
Yeah.
Such a cool term. So what does that mean? Can you explain that for my audience?
So this is one of my fun facts. So I actually started off as architecture major. That was my major at first in college. So on and doing all that creativity. So for me, you think about excavation, you think about like archaeology. So I like, you know, the History Channel and them finding stuff, digging stuff up. And so for me, that's what I feel like I do best for people. I help them dig up the parts of them that they forgot and bring them back to life. And I think that's one of the things that people, a lot of time when people think about like mental health or something like that, it's always what's wrong with them.
Right.
Me, I don't believe people have to go find themselves. I think they have to rediscover themselves. And that's what I try to help people do. Like, remember who they used to be before, you know, adulting and life happened and all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, I used to like to do this. Or, oh, I was, you know, passionate about this. And now I'm afraid to do it now. Like, when did that start? And so it's really going back in time and then figuring out, okay, what did I start to lose of myself that's unique to me? And then how do I bring this into the present? So, yeah.
Wow. That is so powerful. And what a great message, right? And I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head when we're talking about mental health. And I guess especially as a professional counselor, you would, I'm sure, see this a lot in your field. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, a lot of the time you go to therapy and they're like, well, this is what's wrong. We need to get rid of this or whatever. And it feels like we need to become something new rather than just stripping away the layers that are hiding the gems that are inside.
Yeah. Super cool. Yeah, that's cool. See, I'm all about visual. So you just painted a real good visual. So yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. And on this podcast, as you know, I chat mostly with musicians. And I talk a lot about how when we're younger, going into music, right, when you're 5 and starting piano or 10 and starting singing lessons or whatever it is, there's so much joy and there's so much creativity and passion. And sometimes as we get into more professional levels of training, those fears really do come and inhibit what was already there and finding that joy again and that creativity and that passion. So.
Yeah,
super. A life excavator. My friends, I think we all need to start excavating our lives.
Look, I still have to excavate mine.
Yeah, right? Does it ever end?
I don't think so. I think because life is growth. And I was talking about this on somebody else's podcast, but you know, you hear growth, personal growth a lot, and it's like, well, that's kind of cliche. I'm like, but real growth requires change. And I think that's what people are not willing to do. They want to grow, they want like more money, they want more notoriety, but they don't want to do the hard work. And it's work for growth. I mean, and so I gave the analogy like a tree. You know, in order for a tree to grow, it have nutrients and needs water and needs all this thing, these things to grow. But it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't just plant something and it just like, oh, sprouts up. It's a process to it. And I think that's, we all just in the process of continuing to grow and find out what we need to grow best for us. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as those roots get deeper, it gets easier to grow, but it never stops.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. I love it. So today we're going to be chatting about dream killers, like I mentioned already in the introduction. So what are dream killers?
So dream killers are barriers or frameworks that are within us that kind of stop us from doing what we want to do. And I believe we've learned these over time. Some of them had to do with our personality. So some of them is us being more aware of like our natural traits and how to use them best. So it's four. So you have people pleaser, overthinker, daydreamer, and doubter. I always tell people I'm a recovering people pleaser. It usually most of us in the mental health field, therapists, counselors, whatever, you're helping people, you probably got some people pleaser in you too. And so a lot of it is, well, how do you set boundaries? And just like we talking about with musicians, music really is the soundtrack to people's life. And so if musicians didn't create music, it's certain things that wouldn't have meaning for people. Like certain songs mean certain things, like, oh, there was somebody wedding song, or their parent played this song when they were growing up, or they went to the fair and this music was playing. They remember that when they were young, you know, it's like all these events tied to music. But if the musicians didn't go through that journey to create it, and somebody told them like, hey, your music trash, or like, you should do something else, or nobody wants to hear that, what you doing, then somebody would be missing that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's all important. It all kind of fits in. So with the dream killers, it's things internally that we have. So like I said, with creating an album or a song or learning to play an instrument, you might overthink like, oh, it's not ready. Oh, I'm not ready to do that. Oh, I need some more lessons, like you talking about before. So you get in your head a lot and then you don't do anything. Or like I said, you might be the daydreamer, like, oh, I'll be on stage and I'm at like Madison Square Garden and sold it out. And you got that visual in your head, but you don't do the work to get there. And right. So you just stuck in the dream of it. Or, you know, maybe you had a demo and then you shop your demo. Well, people don't do demos no more, but you know, back when people did demos and stuff, you shop your demo around. Somebody said, oh, we're going to do a record deal for you. And then it fell through and you didn't get it. And then you're like, oh, well, it's not going to happen. I shouldn't even try to keep going with my music because they shot it down. And it's like, how do you keep going when you hear so many no's? Or like, people don't really get what you're trying to do or your music or like, your message that you're trying to get across. So it's like, to get to your dream is like a gauntlet with people like saying, oh, you can't do this, oh, and you dodging and moving and just trying to make like, but this is really what I want to do. And it's doing it in a way that you don't become bitter with people, you don't become like angry or like stuck in those rejections, because you don't have those. But how you keep going forward, because you know the why behind what you're trying to do. Like, you know why you want to create the music or why you want to do this in this way, even if nobody else does. And sometimes you have to be like your own like audience of one clapping for yourself, because you might be the only one for a while until it catch on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Yep. As you were chatting, I was just nodding. I was like, mm-hmm. Yep. Had that thought. Oh, had that one too. So it sounds like even though, so there's four dream killers that you've identified. So even though there's four, we could be all four. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, you can be all four. But I think the main point to it is trying to figure out, well, where did that start? because like for me as a people pleaser, like my natural tendency is to help, but in a certain point in my life, it started to get out of balance, where it's more just doing what people wanted me to do, not the things that I felt like I needed to help people with. And it's saying like with overthinking and daydreaming and doubting, it's like, okay, well, what happened where it went from being balanced? Because you'll never be like 100% of like the positive or 100% of the negative, but how do you balance it out to where it's right. healthy for you? And that's my constant battle over our life. It's like, okay, I want to help people. I want to do stuff to help, but I can't help everybody. Like,
yes, I know that is, and I imagine in your field even more so, that there's so much desire to just be like, I just want to cast my net and help everyone, but that isn't necessarily healthy for you.
Right. And it takes time to learn it, because you know, just with anything, when you just start and you're so passionate about it, it's like, I want to do it and I'm gonna save the world. I know that's what we do with therapy. We come in and we get our degree or we get our life. Like, I'm gonna save the world. I'm gonna save the kids, save all these people. And it's gonna be great. And then you realize that a lot of people don't want to change and they don't want help like you think you think they would. And you have to deal with that too. It's like, sometimes people just don't want your help and you have to be okay with that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So as a professional counselor, how do you identify which of these dream killers are really the problem, right? Because some of these things, can they be positive too?
Yeah. So with each one, it's a more positive leaning one. So with like people pleasing might be the negative or out of balance, but to really be balanced or be effective, it's empowerment or like empowerer. So if you empower people, you're helping them to help themselves instead of you being the focus of that. You know, like overthinker, most overthinkers are like evaluators or whatever. And so like, it's not bad when you're overly thinking, you're doing too much evaluate.
Right.
And when you're balanced, like, oh, okay. Then like daydreamers are usually visionaries. So it's like, you got great vision, but now you have to frame your vision in a way that you can get help, because your vision won't go anywhere unless you got some people to help you with it.
Right. Yeah. You need to like have an actionable plan.
Yeah. And then the doubter is kind of like the analyzer, because you're the person that's like, hey, hold on, before we do something, let's wait, hold on. Doesn't it feel like something else that happened? Like, oh, so it's not bad, because you do need that in you, but you can't let that because something happened in the past that was bad or you feel like you failed at it, it's lessons from that. So it's learning to like analyze it in a way you can take the lesson, like, okay, this feels like something that happened in the past. Let me assess it. Not saying that I can't do it or can't go forward. I need to figure out what it was back then that maybe I've overcome or I've learned or whatever that I can apply to now. So those are like the not negative and positive, but it's like the imbalanced and balanced part.
Yes. Okay. So all of these, they sort of, it's like your yin and yang. It's always about balance, right? Which we know. So the people pleaser, overthinker, daydreamer, and doubter, right? Curious, which one do you think you see most often, or is it a real mixed bag?
So it's like, even though I didn't have the framework, I didn't call it this when I was doing like most of my heavy clinical work, because I work with kids a lot. That's why I started. Right. And then as a professor with my students, like I could tell the ones that were overthinkers, because they would come every assignment, they would come up to me. So like, hey, okay, look, I know it's due in like 2-3 weeks, but can I send it to you and you give me feedback? But it was like, just go by the rubric. It's okay. Like, you will be all right. But and then for the people pleaser, it was always like, okay, making sure that they were doing what they needed to do to like get approval from me.
Right.
And then the one that were doubters are more or less like, oh, I messed up on this quiz. Oh, it's like I'm tanking and all that. It's like, no, just get on track. Just come on, come talk to me. We can get on track. And then the daydreamers, they're like, you know, sometimes they get caught up in the, you know, they have a paper or something like that. And it's like they make this grand thing. And it's like 30, 40 pages. And I'm just asking like 10. And they like real thorough. It's like, okay, it's like I'm not gonna grade. I didn't wrap my head around all this stuff. It's good. I'm glad that you put the effort in, but it's a lot.
Right.
But I think for the most part, with people pleasing, that's the one that's most common because of the lack of boundaries and because we're not taught to set boundaries. And a lot of times, the environment that we're in work best because people know that we don't have real strong boundaries. Mm-hmm. So they're like, it works for them. So why would they want us to have boundaries when they can get what they want from us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's so fascinating to hear you say that. I'm also a music teacher, and I'm in a lot of forums and a lot of groups chatting with other music teachers. And I often see, you know, posts and discussions about, you know, policies in their studios and, oh, like this parent wants, you know, to miss 4 lessons and not pay anything, or my student last minute canceled on me or no showed and they, you know, don't want to be billed for that lesson, or they want me to make it up or whatever. And so many of the problems that we deal with professionally and personally have to do with boundaries. Mm-hmm. And you're right that we don't really get taught how to set those in a tactful and responsible way, because I know that boundaries can't, like, obviously they're healthy and they can benefit both parties so greatly, because then we aren't, you know, stepping on each other's toes and making one another irritable.
Yeah.
So how do you suggest going about learning to create those boundaries in our personal and professional lives?
Yeah. So one of the things that makes people afraid of boundaries is because it's like, oh, I have to be confrontational. Mm-hmm. I have real, like, it, because, you know, some people our nature real easygoing, real kind of like, we're not like in your face people, not everybody,
right?
So for, and I'm a laid back person too, not that I can't be assertive, it's just my normal everyday, I'm just real laid back. So for me, what I had to do as far to set boundaries was, what am I trying to protect or do that is being taken away because I'm not setting this boundary? So I'm losing time doing this project I need to finish, or I have this thing that I really want to do, or it's my own personal time. It's like, okay, I need time to myself. And if I did it, and some people that they, you know, they might like not laugh at it, but they're like, oh, I don't know if I could do this. One thing I did to start, I would put my phone on do not disturb, and I only had the important people calls that would come through. Anybody else, it would go to voicemail. And that was one of my boundaries, and having a time where I didn't answer my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, after 5 or 6 like that, if it's not immediate family, whatever, crisis, I'm not available. And I might get to them the next day or whatever. And I think that's one thing that helps you set boundaries, is you realize that a lot of people just don't need you. You're just always available so they can get to you.
Absolutely.
And if they can't get to you, they'll find somebody else. so it's like you don't feel, you're not as important to people as you think you are. You're just always available, so you get more calls come your way.
Right. Right. And I think with social media and everyone having a cell phone in their pocket at all times, right, we do have this expectation of immediate response. Yeah. And that's something that I've been working on personally too, is putting my phone away, turning, I've got all my notifications off. So if you try to send me a message, it's like, well, I will see that. I will see it when it works for me.
Yeah.
So how do we set these boundaries and communicate them in a way, like to others, in a way that is still tactful without being confrontational. Because I totally agree that that is the fear with setting boundaries.
Yeah. What I learned to do is I started to teach people around me the things that they would call me for. Because that's really a lot of it. A lot of people, especially if you're a person that helps people, that you have like a warm personality, they come to you to ease their stress. So they might like, oh, I don't know how to work this. Ooh, let me call Terry. He know how to do it. But if they're not taught how to do it on their own, I will always be the one to fix it.
Right.
Instead, it's like, okay, well, it might take me a little more time, but hey, is it a way for me to teach this to them? Like, hey, get on your phone, do this. Or hey, open up this website and go do this thing. And that's how you get it. Or I might direct like, hey, check this YouTube video out. It'll show you how to do that. So I try and find ways to take myself out of the equation, but still help, because we still want to be helpful, but I don't have to take a lot of time out of my day to try and do that. So I think that's one. The other thing would be finding out what you're trying to protect. So if you understand your why and what you're not being able to like achieve or do for yourself, that then shows you where you need to set a boundary. So if it's like, all right, I want an hour a day just so I can kind of just be to myself, be self-reflective. I might want to work out, whatever. Okay, how do I protect that hour in the day? And like, when would it fit best? So then it works best for me, but then I can get on with the rest of the things I have to do for the day. Because you know, we can't put our life on hold. Life moves every day.
Absolutely.
And it's things to do every day. So it's like, all right, how do I make it work? And instead of just trying to have every minute planned out, what I find that works best is like have zones of time for different things.
Right.
I don't like email, but I know if I go ahead and get emails done early in the morning, that gets it off my mind. And so I got a zone of time for like emails and checking in and all that. And then, you know, going walking, I walk like every day. So I try and do like 4 or 5 miles. I try and protect that time and try not to do a lot of calls, a lot of meetings. So I'm walk. I don't, you know, I try not to walk and talk. Sometimes I'm not able to do it, but right. I try to protect that time. So it's all those things like what's important to you, try and block that then becomes the boundary you set. And it might take a couple times to reinforce it, because if it's changed for people and they used to you doing it, they're not going to like it. So they're not going to like that you setting a boundary like, why are you not picking up the phone? Or, hey, I sent you that text. Did you send my text? Hey, I sent you the email. I need help with that. So you realize that people can do more and more on their own. They might just need a little skill or need to be taught how to do something on their own. Then they feel better about it. Like, oh, I'm proud of myself. Like, look, I did this all on my own. Like, yeah, you did it. Now you had to call people.
Well, and then you go, right, you talked about the people pleaser.
Yeah.
The opposite end of that being empowering others, right? And that's what you're helping them do when you're like, Google it, right? Google it. There's the answer, right? It's right there.
Yes.
And for yourself, right, by setting those boundaries and having a time blocked kind of schedule where it's like, okay, this is my time for my daily walk, and this is my time to check my dreaded email inbox, right? Mm-hmm. All those things. Then you do have those boundaries, and people are going to come to expect, right, that you'll hear back when you send an email to Dr. Terrence Johnson. You're going to hear back, you know, in this bracket of time every 24 hours or so.
Yeah.
Right, and that becomes the new normal. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just getting away from those old habits.
Yeah. And we slip back into them. I think I think awareness is the biggest piece too. I know I can fall back into people pleasing if I'm like stressed, if I'm tired. Cause sometimes people just call you like, okay, I'll do it. And you know, you don't know what you agreed to. He's like, what did I just agree to? I don't know if I even want to do that. Like, I'm doing too much. I need to get back in alignment. And so everybody has their kind of triggers to shoot them. It's like, oh, I'm not balanced. I'm overthinking, I'm people pleasing, I'm doubting, I'm daydreaming, I'm falling back into an old habit. Okay, what do I need to do to kind of pull it back in? And I think that's the constant thing. If we're constantly aware of ourselves, it makes it easier to make decisions. Not saying that we're able to do everything we want. You know, most of us would want to be on vacation, you know, 30 weeks out the year, but we can't do that. So it's like, okay, well, how can I take a week off? Or how can I do a couple of days off or whatever, And so it's just working around what we have, our responsibilities, but still being present and being able to be whole people in the midst of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I love that. You know, being present is such an important part, right? And if we're not in the present, then we won't have that awareness of what's going on and even how we're feeling, right? Yeah. And I think that makes me think so much of the daydreamer, right? Like when we're stuck in the visions of the future, it's so easy to do absolutely nothing in the now because you're just so busy being, you know, a month or a year or 10 years ahead of where you are now. And then we're not taking the steps to make those dreams happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like we have our own kind of Netflix in our head. It's like, oh, look at this. Oh, it's going to be great. Oh, I like it. We kind of binge watch visions and stuff like, when this happens, oh, it's going to be great. But we don't like get out of that into like doing something in real life.
Exactly. And
that's the challenge because you have to have a vision to start, but you can't live in the vision. You have to continually move and take things from your head to like the paper, write it down, or take action steps and all of that. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like my students. We're preparing. It's going to be our recital this week at the time of this recording. And like they all have the vision of the perfect performance. It's like, well, you need to practice. That's how you get there, right? So it's all those little things, right? And those little tiny habits. I know we've talked a lot about habits on my podcast. Those tiny habits add up so much, right? So being aware of how you're spending your time and what you're thinking about is so crucial.
It is. It definitely is.
Yeah. So how do you suggest when you're talking to someone and you can tell that they've got good intentions, they've got somewhere they want to be, there's some kind of draw, but they're being held back. How do you suggest that this person sort of clicks into that awareness if they're so stuck in the dream killer mode, whatever that might be?
Yeah. So one of the things we kind of focus on 7 areas of awareness. So you have most of the time with mental health is focused on, you know, your mental and emotional. So it's like, you know, how do you feel and what are your thoughts? And it was like feelings, thoughts, behavior, usually that's mental health. But really to be a whole person, you have your physical, which a lot of people totally ignore because your body gives you a lot of signals of what you need to do. And we keep ignoring our bodies. So that's how we get burned out. Our body's like, oh, I'm so tired. Like my muscles ache and my head is hurting. Like, oh, I'm fatigued. It's like your body tells you like, you need to rest. You need to take care of yourself. I'm like, no, but I'm just going to take a Tylenol. Like, oh, I'm just going to do this. Like,
this is so relatable. I'm definitely guilty of this.
Yeah, and we all do it. I've done it. And then you have your mental, your emotional. The other one is relational. I think even though we're so connected, we don't have meaningful relationships with people.
Right.
We don't have like real strong friendships and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we might message people on Facebook or we have followers or whatever, but that doesn't mean that we could pick up the phone and call somebody and say like, hey, how you doing? And have a conversation about what's really going on.
Right.
We don't all have that. And then you have, you know, vocational, you like your career. Your career can have a lot to do with how you feel. You might working in a toxic work environment, or you might just be struggling to figure out what you want to do with your career or where you want to be next. So that's one. Then you have, you know, spiritual. It's not necessarily like, you know, belief in God, do you don't, what religion you are. It's like, what does that mean to you, and what does that bring into your life? Having that kind of connection to it, because that's another thing that kind of grounds you too. And then you have environmental. It's not like environmental, like, you know, like picking up the trash, you know, making sure you recycle, but it's the environment that you're in every day. You know, you have home, you have work, you have community. All these environments make you feel certain ways. And sometimes it's your environments that keep you sick too, because they might be toxic, or they might not be conducive, or they might be, you know, emotionally charged or whatever. And so you have to have environments that then allow you to be at peace or rest, or just you can be yourself in your own space.
Right. Yeah. So you might have to pick up the trash.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
No, but it's absolutely true, right? How all of these aspects of our lives play such an important role, but we don't necessarily give them all credit for the impact that they make in our lives.
Yeah. And so it's like daily reminders. It's like, okay, health-wise, like, where am I, you know? And then the physical, not only like your body, but what you're putting into your body.
Right.
So what are you eating? Are you drinking water? Are you getting rest? You know, and then even though it doesn't technically fit like that, but like, what are you watching? What are you listening to? Like, all of that affects you too.
Right. So, your media diet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a lot of toxic stuff out there.
A lot.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So you'd recommend then, if someone's struggling to move forward and to really start taking some action steps towards whatever their big goal is, they should really get down to brass tacks and take a look at each of these seven areas of their life and see where that imbalance is. And there's maybe imbalances in several categories.
Yeah, because then if you move forward and you don't have a good picture of that, then even if you're making positive steps, it's easy for you to fall back.
Right.
Because you don't necessarily know where you are right now. So it's like, anytime before you can move forward, you have to know where you are right now. And what does that look like? And so like, oh, well, all right, right now, like health-wise, I'm not where I want to be, but I need that to be more on track for me to do this next thing. So I got to integrate that more. Or like, okay, relationship-wise, I don't really have a lot of, you know, real meaningful relationships. Maybe I need to start looking for people like in my field, or people connect to what I want to do that can help me, you know, figure out the next step. So it's like, then it gives you a clear picture, not saying that, you know, each one of the next steps, but it's like, oh, well, these are the areas I need to focus on going forward.
Yes, right. That whole knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Right. We so often are searching for knowledge outside of ourselves when so much is within us, right? So much of our power is within us, right? So if we understand exactly where we are, then we can make the changes that we need to make to get from point A to point B and eventually to point Z, right?
Yeah.
One step at a time.
That's it. Because we're all on a journey. And I think for me, that's why, you know, the things that I created, like Path to Purpose and Dream Killers, it's all about a visual. So Path to Purpose is always about the crossroads. And that's where we're usually stuck. It's like, okay, we got two paths. Okay, I don't know which one I need to take. typically what we do, we take the same path over and over again and keep looping back to the same crossroads. Like, oh, well, I could do this, but this is easy. Let me take this. And then it loops you back around to the same thing. Like, I've been here before. What? This is the same. I was just here like a couple years ago. And it kind of, life forces you to take, it forces you to confront the thing that you're afraid of and really go for what you really want. But if you keep taking the side road, you just keep looping back and looping back and looping back. So it's always one thing I used to always ask my clients. I said, don't think about what you want to do. What do you need to do? Because the need to do is always the thing that we don't want to do. It's like, that's the harder thing. Like, I want money. I want this. Like, but what do you need to do to do that? It's like, I might have to go back to school. I might have to leave a relationship. I might have to, like, oh, I don't want to do that. I just want this. Like, I just want the after effects. I mean, I don't want
to. They don't want to do the hard stuff.
Yeah. You have to be willing to go that route. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. And it's so interesting to hear you say that about, I love that visual about the path and the sort of looping back to the same spot, because I'm sure that we've all experienced times in our lives where it's like, I'm going this way. Oh, and maybe this is the shiny path that I'm going to take. And we wind up exactly in the same spot. It might look a little different. Like the trees might have grown, or the, you know, seasons might have changed, but it's the same decision that we're coming back to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so interesting. So when we're at these crossroads, mm-hmm. how do we know, especially I'm thinking about our overthinkers, mm-hmm. how can we know which path to take?
I would say, especially with the overthinkers, it's some of the overthinking is lack of trust in yourself. Mm-hmm. So if I'm always thinking, I'm always researching, I got to find different things to validate my decision, then I'm not my own expert.
Right.
So really, in order to go forward just with anything, you have to trust, you have to know your why. And if you know your why, you're able to handle what comes next. One of the things that I had this conversation with somebody about a year ago, but we were talking about personal growth, and she was saying one of the things that people don't realize is it's the backlash you get from the people around you for doing the thing that best suits you. So it's like you're excited about, like, oh, this is the path, I trust myself, I'm doing it. You do it, and then people are like, why you do that? That don't make any sense. Well, why? I don't understand it. I mean, why would you leave this and leave here and do, you know, and then you get all of this negativity towards your way, like, oh, I wasn't ready for this. Like, I thought people would be happy that I'm doing something for myself. And that's the thing that we don't prepare for. Not necessarily the decision, it's the reaction from the people around us to our decision that we have to be prepared for, because they might not like it at all.
Exactly. Well, I mean, as humanity, it seems like we're so adverse to change, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the change within us, although of course there's always barriers and fear and all that to work through before you really level up to the next version of yourself.
But
it's so easy for people around us, especially if they aren't operating on the same kind of mental level with the same awareness, mm-hmm. that they're going to see a change in you and they're not going to like that, because now it's challenging their own beliefs about themselves and the way that they work and the way that the world works around them. Mm-hmm. Right. And that can be really, really challenging. And I know that, like, when I started my personal growth journey a couple of years ago, a lot of my friendships changed drastically, because mm-hmm. suddenly there was an imbalance in the way that we were thinking, and our communication just didn't work the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, like I experienced it when I quit my teaching job, like 2019, I quit a faculty job, a job it took me years to work up towards and everything. And everybody thought, like, oh, that was the ceiling. And I quit. And they're like, well, why would you quit that job? And everybody don't get that opportunity and da 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 and all that kind of stuff. But I knew my why. So it was easy. And for me, it was, I felt like I had completed that season. I had taught the students that needed my instruction, but I had people that I needed to reach that weren't in the classroom. They weren't in like a university setting. They were out in the world. And that's really the journey I've been on since then. It's like, okay, it's people that need like dream killers and path of purpose. And okay, where are they? How can I find how to interact with them and then provide things for them? Because for me, I believe that this phase of my career is for me to help the people that want to create the things to help others. So if they don't get the support and especially like the empowerment and encouragement, they will let the dream killers and just the process and the path stop them. And the people that really need what they have to offer. And absolutely. So that's who I feel like I'm supposed to work with now. Not saying that I can't do like mental health work, but that's the fulfilling work for me to do now.
Yeah, that's so powerful. It's so powerful. And I know you've mentioned a couple of times through our conversation about having your why and knowing your why and how incredibly important it is to have that. Because it really is like a compass,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. And that why, if you follow it, yeah, it might lead you somewhere where everyone's like, don't do that. That seems crazy. In fact, the podcast episode I most recently recorded was about the craziest decision I've ever made. So this is like, it's always funny how things work. Everyone always, you know, like, this is a crazy idea. Like, what are you doing? You're going to ruin your life. And it all worked out, right? Same leaving a faculty job, right? Like to some people that is an incredibly unfathomable decision to make, right?
Yeah. And I was really unhappy toward the last like year or two. It was just really stressing me out. And I love to teach. I feel like I'm a teacher first, even though I've been a therapist, counselor, all these. At my heart and my core, I'm a teacher. I love to teach people things. I just like to teach people about themselves now, like how to teach people how to be more of themselves. But like for me, the other thing, I moved during the pandemic. I moved August 2020 into a place I didn't even know existed. And so that's why I'm here now. I'm in Gallatin, Tennessee. I didn't even know Gallatin existed, but I'm here, you know? And it's just being able to, is one thing. I think I was thinking about it like a week or so ago, or somebody mentioned it, but like traveling light. And that's the message in life. It's like travel light to a point where any change, any shift you need to do is easier because you're not carrying so much baggage with you. So if you tear down your life, traveling light, that's just how you operate. Like you don't try and take on too many other people issues. You don't try and bring too much of your own stuff with you. You just try and travel light. You just only have what you need to go to the next step.
Wow. That is such a powerful message. Yeah. Wow. I've never thought about that, but you're absolutely right that it's so much easier to adapt and to follow your gut and to trust your instincts and make those changes, make those big decisions when you aren't feeling tied down by a whole bunch of other stuff, whether it's your own or other people's that you're carrying all that weight with you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's profound.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's the thing. If we could all travel light, we could do so much more. And we could be, you know, more impactful to, you know, the world around us too. I think that's the thing that holds a lot of us back. Not that we don't have the desire or passion, we're just caring so much that by the time we get there, it's like, can I just lay down? I'm just tired. I've been carrying a lot of stuff on my back for a minute. Can I just rest for a little minute? And right. I think that's the thing, is like, can you endure the process of getting to where you're supposed to be?
For sure. Right. Yeah. And he can drop bags at every stop.
Yeah. Like, send that on. We can burn that up. I don't need that anymore. We can give it away or do something.
Yeah. And that brings us back to being the excavator, right? Yeah. And finding what is within the core of each human being, right? That shiny gem that's within each of us,
yeah.
Right? It's not that we have to put on masks and makeup and all this other stuff to, you know, become mm-hmm. something else. It's that we need to shed what is hiding
mm-hmm.
that yeah. light. Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful. This has been an incredibly wonderful and enlightening conversation. I'm so excited for all of my listeners to get a chance to hear this episode very, very soon.
Yeah.
And I'm sure many of them would love to connect with you, Dr. Terrence Johnson. So how can they find you if they want to learn more about Path to Purpose or your speaking engagements?
Yeah.
Where can they reach out to you?
Okay. So I'll probably send you the links and everything, but I'll just mention them here as we're talking. But they can reach me. I'm on Facebook. I'm getting my Instagram going. We have iProgress. That's the business I co-own with my business partner. So we have iProgress Facebook, Instagram. We have our website. But if you want to get directly connected to me, I have my own personal page that I kind of built out. I think that's the one that you saw with all the stuff or whatever. But it also has the links to the courses if people want to get into them, Path to Purpose and Dream Killers. I just finished Dream Killers about a month ago. So those are both active and people can enroll in those. Also, I do virtual workshops. Actually, I'm doing one today, but it'll be, you know, by the time this airs, I'll probably have another one up and running then. But I do Dream Killer virtual workshops that people can get into. So I'm doing one tonight. It's Dream Killers, but I'm focusing on the old me could cost me the new me. That's the topic I'm doing tonight. So I'm real passionate about that. I love that. I'm looking to do more things in person. I haven't been able to do in-person things because of the pandemic and all of that. So I'm looking to do that because I love to be in with people in face to face and do it. Like I love that energy.
Absolutely.
So I look to do that. But yeah, those are places. But I would love, especially like I love to talk to like other creatives and all that kind of stuff. Cause I'm a creative at heart too. So I just love those types of conversations and getting them because I even though I'm not a musician or anything like that, I understand that world of like creating something and whatever. And then the blog, the post.
Yes.
So I do have a lot more coming. Some of them will be more specific to like Dream Killers and Path to Purpose. That's usually where they lie. And you know, my dream killing thing that I've had to I'm working on overcoming is Dream Killers is actually a book that I've been working on for a while.
Ooh, so, I'm excited.
The goal is the end of the year to have everything completed. I have like the framework. I've been kind of working through some of the concepts and stuff. So some of the stuff that you read on my blog are pieces and elements from the book, The Come. Or if you get in the course, it's elements of that too. That'll be
well. That is incredibly exciting. And now you've admitted to all of us that the book is coming. So
yeah.
There's so no I'm going back now.
So yeah, I'm holding myself accountable because that's my goal to have it done by the end of the year. Because I do feel like it's a big piece to help people move forward, and I think it's a big part of my why. Too. So it's like it won't let me rest. Dream Killers will not let me rest. So I got to do it. I got to finish.
I love it. I love it. You clearly have so much fire and passion within you for everything that you've been chatting about today, Dream Killers. So thank you so much for sharing everything with my audience. It's been such a delight to have you. And I will post all of the information that you send me, all those links in the show notes. So listeners, go check Dr. Terrence Johnson out. He is absolutely incredible, as you've heard today. And there's so much more to learn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It has been absolutely wonderful to have you. And I cannot wait for your book. You'll have to make sure you have a list or something, so we all know exactly where we can get that book from you.
Yeah. Look, I appreciate the time and just the conversation. I've enjoyed it. I love to be on people's platforms and podcasts that are excited about what they do too. So it's easy to talk and just enjoy myself when you have people like yourself that are real passionate and just kind of, you know, they really want to add value to their audience. So I'm glad I could be a part of that today.
Well, thank you so much. And maybe we'll have you back again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Music Mindfully podcast. Did you have an aha moment? Did something really resonate with you? Be sure to let me know. Screenshot this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to tag me at Music Mindfully. I would also love to chat with you, so feel free to hop on into my DMs. I cannot wait to connect with you on the next episode of the Music Mindfully podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss out. Until then, go make music mindfully.